Do you ever feel like quitting your job, your education, your relationship? Well, maybe you should, or maybe you shouldn't, at least not until you listen to these five big ideas from Quitting, A Life Strategy, The Myth of Perseverance, and How the New Science of Giving Up Can Set You Free by Julia Keller. Julia is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, novelist, and teacher who has taught at Princeton University, the University of Chicago, and the University of Notre Dame. She was a chief book critic and a staff writer at the Chicago Tribune for many years before quitting, and she joins us now to help explore whether quitting might be the right strategy for you, too.
Hello, I'm Julia Keller. I'm a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, and my new book is called Quitting, A Life Strategy, The Myth of Perseverance, and How the New Science of Giving Up Can Set You Free. I'd like to take a few minutes now and tell you about five of the most significant ideas in my book, ideas that I hope will make you question everything you've ever been taught about grit, about hanging in there, about never giving up, because it's all wrong and even dangerous. It's standing in the way of the things you hope to achieve in your life, and it ignores recent breakthroughs in neuroscience, advances that help explain how our brains change course, remaining nimble and flexible as we grow older. So here's big idea number one. Grit is a con. It's sold to us like cars and cornflakes and smartphones. When I was 19 years old, I left home to take a post as a graduate teaching assistant at West Virginia University. I'd graduated from college early, and it seemed like a fine idea to pursue an advanced degree in English literature. Alas, it was a disaster. I'd never lived on my own away from home before, and I was, to my embarrassment, appallingly immature. 1 month in, homesick, miserable, I found myself sitting cross-legged on the grimy linoleum floor of my tiny apartment, sobbing hysterically. I desperately wanted to go home, but I was afraid of being called a quitter, a loser. That's when I first began to ask myself, where did we get the idea in the first place that grit is so all-fired great? Sometimes quitting is absolutely the right thing to do, but we don't do it because we believe we'll be called cowards, weaklings, because we probably will. Our blind worship of grit didn't just pop up from out of nowhere. Grit's positive image got a major polish in the middle of 19th century London when an enterprising Scot named Samuel Smiles, and that was his real name, published a book called Self-Help with Illustrations of Character and Conduct. It was a series of short biographical portraits of notable men of the day, and it was all men at that time, of course. It was a huge, huge hit because it told people exactly what they wanted to hear, that the difference between the rich and the poor came down to effort, not being born white or being born to rich parents. Rich people worked hard. Poor people quit. Now, the Industrial Revolution was in full swing at this time, and a small number of individuals were making vast fortunes, while the majority lived in terrible poverty, terrible despair. So how to justify this disparity? Why, chalk it up to the grit of the gazillionaires at the top, of course. They just worked harder than other people, right? Now, Smiles is often regarded as the father of the self-help movement. And today, books and podcasts that preach the gospel of grit are everywhere. T-shirts, bumper stickers, screensavers, mouse pads, coffee mugs. The slogans of self-help are everywhere, too. Things like, winners never quit, quitters never win, and keep on keeping on. We've accepted that advice for a long, long time without ever seriously questioning it. Now here's big idea number two. How is Simone Biles like a honeybee? That sounds like a silly question, but it's not. It's a way of pointing out how the other creatures with whom we share this magnificent planet, the birds and the bees and the whales and the butterflies, how they deal with quitting. Here's a hint. They do it better. Now, Biles, of course, is one of the greatest athletes in history. That's why the world was so stunned when she withdrew from the finals of the Tokyo Olympics. As she explained later, she felt uncharacteristically tentative and anxious about undertaking those perilous mid-air maneuvers that elite gymnasts must perform. The penalty for a mistake up there can be severe, catastrophic injury or worse. It's basically life or death, Biles has said. So she took herself out of the competition in the final round and was promptly pelted with accusations on social media of having let down her team and let down her country. She was called a quitter. But in the animal world, quitting is a highly effective strategy. Switching out an unprofitable path for a path that might be more profitable is how animals stay alive, living long enough to reproduce. Take the honeybee. When a predator approaches the colony, a honeybee will defend it with her life. And it's always a her because only the females sting. Stinging means certain death. The sting eviscerates her. Sometimes, though, honeybees decide not to sting. I checked with renowned entomologist Justin O. Schmidt, and as he explained to me, his experiments have proven that honeybees make a very quick, very crucial risk-benefit calculation. They decide if a colony is fertile and if a predator poses a definite threat. If both of those criteria check out, she's happy to sting, happy to perish for the greater good. But if the colony isn't likely to produce more honeybees, and if the threat diminishes, the honeybee stands down. She weighs the danger against what's at stake. She measures the imminent peril against the chances of success and the potential reward. And if the ratio doesn't make sense, she quits. That's what I was reminded of when Biles withdrew from the Olympics that day. Like a honeybee, she decided that the competition at that moment wasn't worth the risk of death. Quitting was her best strategy. Here's big idea number three. Quitting is like aerobics for your brain. If you walk into Dr. Misha Ahrens' lab at the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, you'll see row upon row upon row of aquariums. Swimming inside them are tiny zebrafish. He uses these zebrafish in his experiments. Employing techniques such as genetic engineering and three-dimensional microscopy, Ahrens and his team have learned how a particular kind of brain cell enables a zebrafish to quit, to stop swimming, and to start swimming again or not. Other neuroscientists, too, are now able to pinpoint the place in the brain and what chemical triggers are involved where quitting actually happens, the moment of quitting, where one path is relinquished and another begun. The new science of quitting has great potential to improve human life. These discoveries could help in the search for effective treatments for drug and alcohol addiction, or bring relief from afflictions such as obsessive compulsive disorder. And even for those fortunate enough to not suffer from serious maladies, quitting is a good thing. It keeps the brain in motion. And an active brain is a happy brain. An active brain is a healthy brain. Cognitive flexibility, it's a fancy name for quitting and reconfiguring your path multiple times, is one of the best things you can do to keep your brain working at peak efficiency. Big idea number four, things just happen. Sharon Harvey ran the cardiology unit at the world-famous Cleveland Clinic for many years. But one day, she was visiting her local animal shelter and she saw a dog named Hugh. Hugh had been found in a lonely, deserted alley, hungry, shivering, near death. He and Sharon bonded instantly. She decided to adopt him. Now, Hugh inspired Sharon to quit her job and become the director of the shelter. "I credit Hugh," she told me, "for giving me the courage to make such a big honking career shift. I'm not a risk taker. I don't love change." But this dog, she said, reminded her of how much she loved animals. But what if Hugh hadn't been rescued in time? What if Sharon hadn't visited the shelter that day? What if someone else had come along and adopted him? Life is ridiculously random and infuriatingly illogical. Life isn't fair. We are whirled about by chaos, by uncertainty, and we just have to hang on as best we can. We can't control everything. We actually control very little about our lives. But the self-help movement insists that we can. And that what happens to us is entirely down to our own efforts. If we just grit our teeth and don't give up, we'll succeed. Follow the plan, we'll succeed. But there's a better solution to this uncertainty. And that solution is to quit, reconnoiter, and move forward again when you know where you really want to go. Big idea number five. All quitting is not created equal. There's a better way to do it. When Tiger Woods returned to the golf course after a near-fatal car accident and many months of grueling rehabilitation, he chose a high-profile venue, the Masters Tournament. And there, he revealed a new dimension to his game. He became a quitter. Now, no, he didn't throw down his club in frustration and storm off the course, but he did leave behind the relentless perfectionism that had always defined his game. He didn't win the tournament. He came in 47th. But when a journalist asked him, "Is this the equivalent of a victory to you, just showing up and being able to compete as you did?" Woods replied, "Yes." Thus, he illustrated the art of what I like to call the quasi-quit. He didn't give up his sport, but he gave up one way of competing, a way that regarded only a top finish as acceptable, for another way, a way that takes the whole person and the present situation into account, that acknowledges context and history. Quitting can be a reset dial, not just an on-off switch. You don't have to throw out everything all at once in order to go in a different direction. And quitting doesn't have to be a matter of extremes, yes or no, now or never. It can also mean a recalibration of strategies, a modification of aims. It can be a pause and a pivot, and it can change your life. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Julia. That was Julia Keller with 5 big ideas from Quitting, a Life Strategy, the Myth of Perseverance, and How the New Science of Giving Up Can Set You Free. You might also like our book bite for Quit, the Power of Knowing When to Walk Away by Annie Duke. I'm Michael Kovnen. Have a great day.